Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being able to be in your house at this very moment. We thank you for the word of the living God that we are able to hold in our hands and the Holy Spirit able to put in our hearts, we that are willing to receive it in our minds. Father, what's coming, you say in your word in Matthew chapter 24, is tough. It's hard. It's a battle. It is spiritual warfare. So I pray that you will equip us as you have been, that you will continue to do, equip us in the things of the Lord. You have provided that in the book of Ephesians. In fact, the whole Bible is a book of equipping when we receive it as your word. It gives us wisdom that we need, that is necessary to make the right choices. It gives us the strength we need to fight the spiritual enemy that we have, Satan and his demonic army. They also are well equipped, you tell us. And we are thankful for the word of God that can be received and enlighten us, teach us, be our light, be our salt, enabling us to do and to be what you call us to do and what you call us to be. Father, thank you for loving us through all of this persecution. You will never abandon your children. You will always be there. But yet there are some things that you're going to allow that if we do not have the proper understanding of your word, there is no doubt we will have a hard time understanding what you will allow to happen. Many will say, I thought if I were a Christian, this would not happen to me. And the Lord would say, where did you get that? The Lord said, I'll be with you always in everything that will happen. But I will allow you to be persecuted. I will allow many to be killed. I will allow many to go through great hardship and adversity. For I am simply testing during every trial that I allow to see if you are a pretender or if you're just weak in your Christianity. Father, help us all. I think we all said at one time, I'll never see this. Think again. I never thought I would see America do what it's doing today and people holler to defund the police. We don't need them, they say. Lawlessness in many cities is taking over. But what does the church do? You tell us, stay strong. Deliver the message that I've given you. Be evangelistic. Be light and be salt. Don't tap out. Don't step back. And don't give in to the demands of the ungodly. Help us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your printout, you'll notice the title, Persecution. Matthew 24, 9 and 10. I hope you have something to write with. We have a few notes that you don't have. Jesus said, underline the word said. The word said in the Greek is lego. The word said in the Greek means to lay an argument to rest. To lay an argument to rest. But number one, what was the argument? They're talking about the end of the church age and what is going to happen and how it's going to happen. And Jesus says, listen to what I'm about to say. For I am about to lay the argument to rest. Jesus Christ is absolute truth. There is no truth greater. Jesus Christ is absolute reality. There is no greater reality. So Jesus says, I as God, the Son of the living God, the one who has always existed, no point of origin, no beginning, I say to you in absolute truth, in absolute reality, this is how things are going to play out toward the end of the church age. Jesus said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Are you telling me that my Lord and Savior, who loves me so much, who paid my sin debt in full, His name is Jesus Christ, He's going to allow many of His people to be killed? That's exactly what He said. And you shall be hated of all nations. Underline the word all. That little word tells you something big. The word all, this means Christianity has spread into all the world. If all the nations are going to hate you, then Christianity must spread into all the world for that to happen. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Jesus, are you still in charge? He says, absolutely. And you shall be hated of all nations, for Christianity will have spread into all the world. For my name's sake. Now, underline, for my name's sake. If you read this, here's what you should read. They don't care if you steal. They don't care if you burn. They don't care if you kill someone. They won't even look twice at you doing that. But if you carry the name of Jesus Christ, if you proclaim you are a child of the living God, they will want to kill you. And they will seek to kill you. That's what it's saying right here. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, just because you are a Christian. If you're a criminal, they won't touch you. They'll lift you up as a champion. That's what BLM is doing today, Black Lives Matter. But if you raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian, get ready. They're coming after you. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Let me read you some things that you don't have pertaining to what we just read. Number one, there will be a prolonged period of persecution. Will there ever be a time where there will be no persecution? No. From outside the church, the Christian can expect hatred and even martyrdom. From inside the church, the Christian can expect false teachers, apostasy, immorality, and the chief characteristic of spiritual death, loveless hearts. Number three, there will be organized opposition. Families will be split over Christ. Some will say, I've been saved. Will you come and watch me be baptized? And some in your own household, maybe brothers and sisters or mom and dad, will say, you did that? You believe in that stuff? You say you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And now you're going to do something stupid like go in some water and be baptized? We do not accept that. Not in this house. I recalled immediately, the Holy Spirit did. Did not Jesus say, love me more than you love your parents? Love me more than you love your brother and sister? If your mind, I am your supreme love. You are to love me with all your heart. You are to be obedient unto me. And I have had so many in the years that I've been in the pastor, Terry, what do I do now? I said, you obey Jesus. You do what Jesus would have you to do. If mom and dad kick you out, you know where I live. You come. For one day, you will not stand in front of your immediate family. You will stand before the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That's our judge. We are to live by the word, absolute truth and absolute reality that he has given us. And that's what he's saying to his disciples. I give you no greater truth. I give you a truth that leads to no greater reality. Back to the printout. Introduction. In this passage, Jesus forecasted. Jesus can do that because he's God. He's all-knowing. He forecasted a time of persecution that would come to his followers. Did not Jesus say, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to pick up the cross, you better count the cost. Jesus forecasted a time of persecution that would come to his followers. He said many would be afflicted and even killed. And that many would be offended and would betray and hate one another for the gospel's sake. Notice if you kill someone, it's okay. If you steal, it's okay. If you set things afire, it is okay. But you better not mention the name Christ. I never thought I would see that in America. And now the cultural movement is wanting to take away even things pertaining to Christianity now. The powers to be thought, well, if we give you what you want in the beginning, you're going to be happy and you're going to be satisfied. Evil is never happy and evil is never satisfied. You want the backbone of the BLM? It is evil. It is satanic. Jesus forecasted a time of persecution that would come to his followers. He said many would be afflicted and even killed, and that many would be offended and would betray and hate one another for the gospel's sake. These various degrees of trouble inflicted on believers will come because of their ardent, if you look the word ardent up, you find the word strong and passionate. I guess the question is, how many Christians are strong for the Lord and how many Christians are passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, so strong and so deeply rooted and so passionate, they can say with all honesty, I shall not be moved. For their ardent devotion to Christ and their refusal to bend to the current world trends. Afflicted. Philipsis. Always describe stress. What is stress? Stress leads to strain. Then there's pressure or stressful situations. Philipsis is a picture of one who feels trapped. Underline the word feels. When you read the word feels, here's what came to my mind very quickly. Emotions. Where you have feelings, you have emotions. Either your emotions are going to be agitated or they're going to be settled. Emotions are God-given, but emotions are never to lead you. Emotions. Here we go. Philipsis is a picture of one who feels emotions. You might want to add this. Right thinking from God's word is a must here. Right thinking produced by the word of God is a must here to produce stability and peace. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Is the Word of God important? Absolutely. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, that is, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, that is, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Verse 3. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and a purpose designed for his service. So what do you need during a time of persecution? You need a sound mind. You need rational thinking that is going to come not from your intelligence, but from the Word of the living God. Back to the printout. This word afflicted could refer to pressure from family. Did you already have some family that's pressuring you? You try to witness to them. They don't want to hear it. If you don't mind, just step aside and leave me, please. It hurts when your immediate family pressures you away from Christ, and you're trying to go in the direction Christ has given in His Word. People say, what do I do when they will not let me talk to them about Jesus Christ? There's only one thing left, and that's to pray. You see, prayer can move mountains. Prayer can do anything. You're praying to a Heavenly Father that steps in, and the Holy Spirit steps in, and the Holy Spirit begins to work on the inside of that individual that you shared the Word of God with and that you're praying for so diligently. And I don't know of any greater power that can work inside someone you love so much and want them to come to Christ is for the pray for the power of God to just flat go to work on the inside of them. This word afflicted could refer to pressure from family and friends, to hostile reactions from fellow workers, or to loss of employment due to one's faith. If you were faced with losing employment for the sake of Christ, would you? Would you walk away from that which has supplied so much for you in the past years? If they said it's either your job or Jesus Christ, so what are you going to do? I'll tell you, and you already know. You've got to go with Jesus Christ. You say, but what about this job? Cannot Jesus Christ provide? Can He not give you what is needed? He can give you what is out there that you know not of. It's just waiting on you. It was already there. It was just waiting on you to say yes to Jesus and no to the job that wants to deny Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, the ellipsis pictures event piled upon event to cause a weight so heavy that it feels nearly crushing. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I can't hardly stand this anymore. Will you please do something? I know that you love me, and I feel such a great pressure in my life. And you know what? And I praise you, and I adore you, and I thank you for what I do have. And I thank you for what you will do in this particular situation. You praise Him and praise Him, for God inhabits the praise of His children. It's in the Word of God. He's still the same God. It's still the same praise, brother. Let it rip! In other words, the ellipsis pictures event piled upon event to cause a weight so heavy that it feels nearly crushing. It also depicts bullying, harassment, intimidation. Is this not the BLM? In extreme cases of this kind of pressure or persecution, it could even mean death. Early believers experienced harassments. Would you underline that word, harassments? And ask yourself, what does harassment cause? What will harassment cause? Here's two things: worry and fatigue. If you're constantly harassed, you worry. If you're constantly harassed, there is fatigue. And then if you're really constantly harassed, there is annoying. Have you ever said that to somebody? You are annoying me. And if you don't go in the other room, you and I are fixed to get into it. So let's part ways. Annoying. Harassments. Arrest. You and I are going to see more arrest of innocent people than people that should be arrested. We're seeing that already, aren't we? Imprisonments and even deaths of the most gruesome kind or types. It was pressure piled upon pressure as they were vigorously, sometimes viciously persecuted. But Jesus used this word thalipsis to depict a persecution. Now listen to this, you might want to underline it. That will arise again at the end of the age. We've already had this. Speak to the Christians of Rome if you could bring them back. And they would look at you today and say, and this is coming back again? Oh my gosh. And then the heroes of the faith would stand up in the crowd and say, be strong in the Lord. It's worth it. Back to the printout. Here's a little note. Persecution will reveal the true spiritual nature of the pretender or the weak. Persecution will reveal the true spiritual nature of the pretender or the weak. And you want to know why God allows persecution now? For you to find out about yourself. For He already knows. Killed. A word that depicts outright slaughter. It pictures a person's life being viciously taken from him. Viciously taken from him. Jesus is telling many who followed Him would be killed, and some would die terrible deaths. This has happened in the past, and is happening again today in certain parts of the world where Christians are being executed, drowned, beaten, burned to death, beheaded, skinned. That's not there, but you might want to write it in. And so forth. For refusing to recant, that means to disavow their belief in Jesus Christ. These are the faithful martyrs of the end time church, top of page 2. Then there's that word offended. It's the word scandal or scandalous in the Greek. Number one, the Christian faith was scandalous in the first century when believers lived by a solid biblical foundation in a tossing sea of philosophy. Tossing sea of philosophy. You might want to underline that phrase too. We're there. How many philosophies are out there in the world at this very moment that held no moral absolutes? What does this cultural movement want? No absolutes. Do what you want to do, but if we don't agree with it, they say, we will hurt you. We'll come and take away that which is yours and say, it is now ours. We have a right to it. You have seen it. You're sick of it. You're tired of it. We all are. But listen to what the Bible says, which is the Word of God. More is coming. More is going to rise. So what does that mean? It means churches will either get more people in them or more people will walk out the door of churches. Playtime is over. Fun time is over. We come to church to fellowship, to sing unto the Lord and to pray unto Him. We come to lift each other up in prayer, to hug a neck or shake a hand and say, I'm praying for you. We will, if we live long enough and Jesus comes in our life, things are going to crank up. And this house of God will become the most important house in your life, because people of like-mindedness will be here with a mind of Christ to unite and support and pray and gather together. This is where our strength will come from. And don't think Satan won't hit it. He will. But if we stand together in the Lord, then whatever He decides, so be it. The Christian faith was scandalous in the first century when believers lived by a solid biblical foundation in a tossing sea of philosophy that held no moral absolutes. Very similar to what is developing today. Christians were viewed as bigots. You know what a bigot is? Intolerant of those who differ, who do not have the same beliefs. Isn't it something, Lee? We as Christians are called bigots by bigots. BLM is bigot. Because you don't go by their beliefs and what they want. Christians will be viewed as bigots and narrow-minded simpletons just for standing true to their faith. That's Christian faith. A. Worst of all, from the persecution of the pagan society, they lived in early Christians would not acknowledge others' gods. Ooh, that's happening today. I don't acknowledge your God. Well, we need to take care of you then. But instead, call Jesus the Lord over all. That meant Jesus was Lord over the countless gods, little g, and deities of that culture. In an early Roman world of paganism, that attitude was considered scandalous and unacceptable. Christians were viewed as a closed-minded, narrow-minded group, and their biblical views. Turn to John chapter 14. Now, this is something you need to mark in your Bible against the anti-God, those that are anti-God, anti-Christ. Those that say Christianity is nothing, and there are many ways to God. Turn to John chapter 14, 6. Here we go. Jesus. Jesus is the incarnate eternal Son of God. When Jesus was here in the flesh, was He still the eternal Son of God? The answer is yes. Jesus said, the word said is lego. It means to lay an argument to rest. So here again, He's going to lay this argument to rest. Absolute truth and absolute reality is coming from Jesus. And He says, now listen, because this is how it is. Jesus said, I am. I am means Jesus is eternal, self-existent life. Jesus is eternal, self-existent life. He has no beginning, no point of origin. Jesus said, I am the way. The way means through me, a person, a person. When somebody says, you know, they'll say, I'm a Christian. I say, well, that's good. I'm a Baptist or Church of God, Assembly of God. I only know one thing. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not your denomination? A denomination is good, and I'll tell you why. It lets people know what we should believe in. If we're Baptist, then they will quickly identify with what Baptists should believe in, and that's the Word of the living God. So they'll say, I want to go here, or I don't want to go here. Jesus said, I am the way through me, a person, not a denomination, not through a prayer book, not through baptism alone. I am the way and I am the truth. Here's what it means, the truth. What is true to fact? What is true to fact? I am reality, the opposite of illusion. Illusion. How many people are living by an illusion today? Well, that's what you're doing when you don't know the absolute truth and absolute reality of Jesus Christ. All right, let's continue on. Here's one more. I am what? The truth and I am the life. Here's the life defined. Physical and spiritual life. All human life and all creation is derived or has an origin. None is self-standing. All comes from and is sustained by God's self-existent life. Now, you know why we worship the living God. And no one, the word no one in the Greek means no exceptions. No exceptions. Cometh unto the Father, the one who imparts all life, physical and spiritual, but through me. The word through means how do we successfully cross to the other side? Isn't that something? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. Jesus says, I'm the bridge to the Father. And you got to go through me to have a successful spiritual relationship with the Father and be saved. Back to the printout. The word betrayed means to hand over or to deliver. As you will see in Luke's gospel, Jesus predicted that acts of betrayal would be carried out even by members of one's own family. And we've talked about that. Can I ask you something? What are you going to do if it happens in here? If betrayal happens in these walls, what will you do? Pray for them? Get two or three friends to go to them? Talk this through and talk it out, hopefully. But if someone says, I'm not changing my mind, this is my stance and this is my belief, I can either escort them out or some of you can escort them out. You can't tolerate it in a congregation. B, Betrayal even by family and friends, Luke 21, 16 and 17. Even those closest to you, your parents, your brothers, relatives, and friends, there is the possibility they will betray you. Now, you're talking about hurt. And then we say, what can I do? Pray and pray more that the power of God will go to work on the inside of them and reveal that absolute truth and absolute reality. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. It can put you on your knees. It can make you miserable. In other words, it is to a point of conviction that you can't get it out of your mind. And I have found myself in early days just on the ground on my knees weeping because I fought it for a while. They will even kill some of you, and everyone will hate you. Underline the word will hate. Will hate in the Greek is in the present tense. It means hated continuously, and this hate will progress. As society becomes more progressive, biblical standards will be thrown to the wind more and more. Here we go. We're here. And it's going to get greater. And those who are uncommitted to the Word of God or who have toxic feelings toward it may oppose even ruthlessly those who remain by the book. The word hated. This word describes utter disgust and repulsion. It is pure hatred, undiluted, demonic hatred. Do you see what is coming and how strong it is? If it is demonic hatred, you can't fight it in a human way. It's got to be by the power of God, the Word of God, the power of prayer. That's the only thing Satan cannot stand up against. And brother, we're going to have to invest in it more than we ever have. Jesus predicted that believers in various places and times would experience pure, undiluted hatred for His name's sake from the unbelieving world around them. Well, let me tell you something good and positive. Towards the end of the age, there's going to be a tremendous evangelistic sweep that is going to go around the world. Another chance that old gospel ship is going to sail again. Are you telling me in the midst of all we just got through talking about that Jesus is going to be at work in an evangelistic way saving people? Absolutely. And that's our focus. We stand, we fight when we must in God's way, but at the same time, share the Word of God. And God is going to do some miraculous things in bringing people to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the devil wants to throw you off in the midst of all this stuff, but Jesus said it's going to be one of the grandest times that the world has seen, and Christianity will ever know is the salvation of so many during a time of persecution. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank You for the Word of the living God. I know it sounds tough, and it is. It's not something we enjoy listening to, but it's Your Word. In fact, You said, let me lay all the arguments that exist. Let me lay them to rest with My words of truth and reality. Trust me, He says. It's going to seem like I'm not in control, and you're going to question some things that I allow. But I want you to understand, if your life is taken, it just ushers you into My presence. You just pull up that old anchor and you sail right into heaven. That old gospel ship. I bet it's getting ready. The sails are getting ready. Everything's getting just as it should be. And then Jesus is going to put it out to sail around the world and gather His elect in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let's stand.